Turning to Romans 5 again, and this verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. To many, the gospel is an apparent contradiction. On one hand, you have the condemnation of the wicked. On the other hand, you have the peace offered to those that are living in righteousness. How can this be? How can the one who has been wicked under condemnation then suddenly be offered, promised, and experience this sweetness of God's favor and peace? Well, it is this matter of justification. This matter of being rightly related to God through the Lord Jesus. It is this way that God translates us from being under wrath in a state of wickedness and sin into a state of grace to enjoy all the favor and all the mercies of God. It is like being in the courtroom setting where the judge, with hammer in hand, pronounces you either guilty, as charged, or right and upright before the law. And therefore, all charges against you are dropped, and you may go free. When applied to our standing with God, justification is the standing or the falling of any soul. Without it, you have no blessing. With it, you have every blessing in Christ Jesus. All is yours, and you are God's, if you have justification. And so the gospel is about a sinner who before is guilty before God, is now pronounced, declared righteous, and finds this blessed peace with God. I want you, therefore, to think of the meaning of justification. And then we will follow up with the possibility of justification. And then we will get to the peace that this justification brings. Therefore, being justified by faith. If we don't understand what it is to be justified, we'll never understand what Paul is expressing and stating here. The term justification comes from a Greek word which means to be declared righteous or right in the sight of the law. To illustrate this, I want to tell you the all-time great story of Captain Alfred Dreyfus. Now, I've told this story before, but it is worth telling again. There are some historical incidents that is worth telling and retelling. This is a well-documented story. I was able to do a Google search, type in the name, and there were several sources to give background information on this story. It is well known in French history at the end of the 1800s. This man, Captain Alfred Dreyfus, was a captain in the French army who was framed having supposedly sold secrets to the German spy agency. And this caused a political crisis in France, who at that time had tremendous tensions between country and country. But because Alfred Dreyfus was a Jew, he was an easy target, because at that time there was great anti-Semitic feelings. And this man was framed with selling these documents to a German spy on the very slim evidence that his handwriting was very similar to notes that accompanied those documents. So he was tried, found guilty, and sentenced to Devil's Island, one of the worst jails on earth, an impossible place to escape from. And it seemed that this man was condemned to a life of non-existence, a life that he would never again be a free man in France. But he never gave up his claim to innocence. And later there was a particular journalist who came to his aid. a man called Emile Zola, who himself, because of his press publications, did some time in jail. The government was so opposed to this whole case. But public opinion and the various pressures of the media brought this to the fore. And in 1899, an appeal court ordered a new court-martial, but disappointingly found him again to be guilty as charged. But again, the political crisis arose, and this saga went on and became a heightened crisis in France until 1906, and the Supreme Court again called for a trial to clear the name of Alfred Dreyfus. And they did. They cleared his name. And they said that he would be pardoned. Pardoned from all wrongdoing and set free. But Alfred Dreyfus would not accept a pardon. He insisted that he was a totally innocent man, upright before law, that he had never done the wrong. And so they examined the whole case, and eventually he was exonerated from all charges, and not only was he pardoned, but found to be totally innocent. And as papers were released later, the 1930s, it was above all doubt that this was not the work of Alfred Dreyfus, but another man in the military who had actually committed suicide, and highlighted the whole thing a little bit like the case that's on in England right now. And the government's under tremendous pressure to investigate the case, similarly with Alfred Dreyfus. And so he was exonerated. He was declared to be innocent, upright before law, and he was reinstated with all honors and ranks in the French army. That was a man who was declared to be righteous. Now this helps us to understand the meaning of justification by faith in the gospel, because amazingly, even though we be guilty of the charges, even though we be sinners, God in His great grace and eternal desire toward His people declares us to be righteous, not on the grounds of what we have done, but for Jesus' sake. And this is the meaning of justification. One who is under condemnation, who is under wrath, but in mercy has been declared to be righteous, to be upright, and therefore acceptable before God. Now that is a tremendous translation. It is a tremendous change of state, and it brings great liberty, freedom, and blessing. But you may be asking, how is this possible? Because in the case of this man, Captain Alfred Dreyfus, he didn't do the things that he was alleged to have done. Whereas in the case of sinners, we're all guilty. We have all broken the law of God. We have all transgressed. Therefore, how can God find a way to justify sinners and still remain the judge of all the earth who does right? Well, that brings us now to the possibility of justification to sinners. And there are two parts to this justification, bringing this possibility to guilty souls. Firstly, God has provided a sacrifice as a substitute for your sin. It is not that you are somehow better or worthy of this peace with God. It is not that you deserve it or earn it. No, you are no better, and you are just as sinful. But God has found a way to justify you, to declare you righteous, free from all charges and accusations, that He may give you His full blessing. Now that way you will find in Romans 5, 6 through 8. It says in verse 6, 4, and again you'll notice the argument here, because when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For is the Greek word anti. It means to be in the place of. He died in your place. He is one who, while we were yet sinners, and verse 8 is perhaps the most tremendous verse. For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God found a way. God ordained a way. And God provided His Son to be a lamb sacrifice in our place, to bear the curse, the wrath, the shame of sin, that we would be left guiltless, sinless, without any charge, without any condemnation whatsoever. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, you have another tremendous statement of this way that God justifies sinners. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That means we are made to be declared innocent, just as if I had never sinned. And this is God's amazing plan. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. Here is the possibility of justification on the basis of an infinite sacrifice, God's own Son. Now I say an infinite sacrifice because it is indeed all sufficient to bear the sins of all. Now in the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was offered, the carcass of the animal was laid on the altar, and the fire underneath burned the sacrifice and consumed it. It went up in smoke. But at Calvary, our Lord Jesus was such a sacrifice that the sacrifice consumed the fire. It put out the fire. And our Savior now lives to justify, to declare us righteous. There is no more wrath. There is no more accusation. Every sin against us is cancelled out because our Lord Jesus put out the fire of God's wrath, and therefore there is no more condemnation. We are set free. Now the other possibility of this is simple faith is demanded by God. God accepts us through faith in that sacrifice of His Son. So the possibility of justification is on the infinite sacrifice that put out the fire of God's wrath. It is brought to us personally. It is made possible to you and me by our individual faith. It says here in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, faith is not the payment. It is not the consuming of the wrath. It is not the earning of salvation. It is the hearty reception of the plan of God. Your faith in the death, the sufferings, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is your trusting that payment, trusting that death, trusting that plan of God that was already made for you. And you're commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus. And justification is possible to all who will believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Ethiopian eunuch, what did Philip say to him? If thou believest that Jesus is the Son of God, thou mayest be baptized. What a wonderful gospel, and how possible it is for you, although condemned by sin, having broken the law, having black marks against you, guilty in the courtroom of heaven, what a possibility there is here now that when you look to Calvary and you believe by a simple trusting, a hearty trusting, a leaving of every self-confidence, a leaving of every self-work, and looking by faith and cleaving to the work of Calvary and making it yours and say, Lord, this is going to be my way of heaven, my way to heaven. That is faith. And this is your only possibility of justification. Any other way is bound to failure. Any other religion is bound to failure. Any other attempt that you make, any other work or religious exercise is bound to fail. There is one way, God said to heaven, Jesus is the only way. Believe on Him. That's the possibility for you to be saved today. It's possible to all those who will believe on the Lord Jesus and that sacrifice that was offered. That brings us thirdly then to the peace. I want you to think on this peace of justification. Now we don't have to do much thinking really because it's all written out for us. Paul goes on in chapter 5, after stating, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and he begins now to expound to us what the nature of this peace is. Doesn't leave anything to our imagination. We are given everything right here in this word. The peace, the nature of that peace. You'll notice that it is total peace. Therefore, we have peace with God. It is not peace that is piecemeal. Pardon the pun there. It is not peace that is little by little. It is peace that is total. You either have it or you don't have it. You're either justified or you're condemned. The hammer of the judge has fallen. You're either pronounced guilty or at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, this is a total peace. And it's total because the death of our Lord Jesus was totally adequate. It was absolutely sufficient. And it put out the fire. There's no more fire left. There's a total peace. The fire's out. There's no need to concern. Just like people in the fire zones of British Columbia today, when the crews come in and put the fire out, people can return to their homes in peace. The fire's out. Now, that's not a very good analogy because in the forest today, those fires may break out again. There may be some stump or root that's still glowing, and with a little fanning of the wind and a little bit of fuel, it may well just burst into flames and in some way reignite. So there is no possibility for the justified sinner that there will be a new fire, a new wrath against you, because the Lord Jesus was your sacrifice who put out completely the fire of God's wrath. Christ bore our hell on that cross. I do not believe that he spent 3 days and three nights in the grave or in the lower parts of the earth in hell. 3 nights in a grave, yes, but not in some lower part or cavern that was a hell. Our Lord Jesus bore our hell on the cross. And for believers who are justified, there is no more hell. Cannot be. Can't spend a moment in hell if our Lord Jesus has put the fire of God's wrath out. You're either in the family or you're out. It's like Noah's Ark. You're either on the inside or the outside. You're either on the inside, safe from judgment, or you're on the outside, totally under God's wrath. Which are you today? In or out? Are you saved? Have you come to the Lord Jesus? Have you believed on Him? Do you have this total peace? Or are you saying, well, I'm working at it. Working at it? Whenever the floods were coming and the rain was falling and you were outside the ark of Noah's day, you couldn't say, I'm working at peace. But if you were on the inside, you could say, I can lay down my head and sleep. The water will never get in. That ark was pitched on the outside, on the inside. And the word pitch is the Hebrew word for atonement. And if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, there is not a spike of wrath that can touch you. Hallelujah. This is a total peace. You'll notice in verse 2 that it gives you access to God. It is peace that leads you into full access to God. That's what the gospel's all about, isn't it? Sin drives us away from God. Sin separates. That's what hell is. Hell is separation from a holy God. The gospel gives you access to God, by whom we also have access by faith. Access to God. There are no more barriers, no more between, No more obstacles to overcome. Justification makes you right in the sight of a loving Heavenly Father who treats you with favor and fellowship and blessedness. That's the peace of access with God. Then you go on in verse 2, you'll notice that it's based on a new standing in grace. A new standing in grace. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now this is a legal right and privilege. As a justified soul who has been declared righteous, you have a full standing in grace. As a sinner, you have standing in sin. All its condemnation and all its horror and all its rebellious traits and all the wrath of God upon you. That's the standing of an unsaved soul. And if you're not a Christian today, that's where you stand. That's how lost you are. But the moment that you're justified, the moment that you are declared righteous because of the death of Christ, then you are given a new standing. And you have access into this grace wherein we stand. It is sometimes called a new citizenship. And Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus, are citizens of heaven. I am a citizen of Canada. I have a paper to show it. I have a passport to show it. I am a citizen of this country, and I have rights and privileges as a citizen. I have rights and privileges within this country. I have a standing as a Canadian. I also have rights and privileges outside this country. If I was traveling and there is some issue or other, there's always a standing as a Canadian citizen. Can I get back into the country? Thankfully, I have every hope I will. There are some people that are inside the borders of this country, and if they were to leave, they'd never get back in again. Because they've entered illegally. They have no standing in this country. They have the appearance of being Canadians. They are in the country. They enjoy all the good things of this nation. But they have no standing. If they were to leave, they could never return. And if, 36,000 were truly processed, they would also have to leave. They have no standing in this country. But if you are a Canadian citizen, you can leave and return at any point, at any time. Or if you're in a trouble in a foreign country, you could go to a Canadian embassy and receive help. You have a standing as a Canadian citizen, as a Christian, one who is declared righteous by the law of God, by the decree of God's justifying mercy. You have a new standing in grace. You can call God your Father. You can cry, Abba, Father. You can plead the covenant blessings. You have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, we're not in heaven yet. We are really pilgrims in a foreign country. But we still have a standing in grace. My citizenship really is in heaven. And when the devil's after me and the world is after me, I can call upon God. Father, I am a citizen of your kingdom. I'm an heir of grace. And this brings great peace. And even though all around us seems to be crumbling, we know that we have this wonderful standing in grace because we're justified by faith. Then it leads on to a hope of eternal life. You'll notice in verse 3, verse 2, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, this is a hope that brings joy. We rejoice. Some translate this that it means, let us then rejoice. Having this standing, because we have this benefit, now we're to be a rejoicing people. However you translate this, it is the fruit of justification. You are brought into this new hope. Now, the hope of the gospel is not like me hoping that, you know, the weather this week will continue dry. Or when you're planning some outing, that it's going to be a dry day. We hope it will, but we have no guarantees. That's not the hope spoken of here in Romans 5. Because we have this justification declared righteous, because we have this standing in grace, therefore we have a hope that is certain and sure, it is eternal. It is a hope that will bring us into the glory of God. and lead us to enjoy all the blessedness of the glory of our Heavenly Father. This is a watertight gospel, and it brings peace to my soul. If I was sick and ill and facing limited time here on earth, this would cheer my heart. This would thrill my soul. No matter if I get better or get more sick and die, nothing is going to hinder the purpose of God to conform us to the likeness of His own Son. Because we have this hope of the glory of God. Now more than that, you notice verse 3 doesn't run away from the tribulation. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In this world we shall have tribulation. The gospel doesn't deny that you're going to get sick. It doesn't deny that you're going to have trouble in the body and trouble in this world. These are all things that we will have, one way or another. And verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The word ashamed there means to doubt. Cast off our confidence. The hope, which is such a certain hope, means that we don't doubt even when we're sick. We don't doubt even when we are going through troubled waters or tribulation. Why? Look at the experience now of the Christian. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Yes, there is an experience to being saved. There are feelings in being saved. Now, feelings don't save you, but the feelings come because we are saved. The conscience is released. The sense of guilt is lifted. It's like the accused leaving the dock after the judge's hammer has fallen and saying, guilty, free to go. Now, don't tell me that that man doesn't have any feelings. Now, his feelings didn't set him free. It was the pronouncement of justification that set him free. The pronouncement of being innocent from charges. It was the judge's hammer that set him free. But boy, does he ever feel it. And he feels free. And when he can look that cop in the eye as he takes the handcuffs off and he walks out through that door, does he not feel free? He certainly does. And Christian, if you don't feel free from sin, you're not saved. If you haven't had the experience of release from a guilty conscience, if you haven't got the blessed joy of being one who is rightly related to God, how can you call yourself a Christian? How can you call yourself saved if you haven't the inner witness of the Spirit testifying that your sins are gone and you have now fellowship and peace with God? We're given the oil of joy, the spirit of praise, the new song, hallelujah, I'm saved and I know it. And I ought to go out into the world and show it. That is the peace that the gospel brings to the child of God. There is the experience of the Spirit that is real spiritual peace. Spiritual peace. Do you have that today? The more we understand the gospel, the more we understand this great doctrine of justification, the more peace we will enjoy in the midst of this crooked, sinful world. And it's peace that is flowing from the cross of Calvary. It's peace that comes because the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us and sets us free. And as we come to the communion table today to remember these things, take the cup and the bread in our hands and to look at them and gaze at them. And do it, my friend. Take a long look at those visible signs that God has given us. Just don't rush through this. Take a long look at the redness of that juice. Take a long look at that bread that speaks of the body of your Lord. See there the bases, the grounds of your confidence as a Christian and the hope that is born within you as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus. And rejoice that you have this standing in grace. Coming back to Captain Alfred Dreyfus, there was a day when he stood before his army unit and he was stripped of every rank. Sword was broken for his men. He was marched off in shame. But then there was another day. After all the shenanigans of government and supreme courts, and after all the defense that was made on his behalf, pressures that were brought to bear on government and courts and judges, Alfred Dreyfus was paraded out again before his army unit, and he was handed back his sword, obviously a new sword, and he was given again all the ranks of captain. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful day it was. And you, how much more should we love our Lord Jesus? How much more should we be thankful for the one who took our place, bore the guilt and the shame, went not to devil's island, but took our hell on the cross to set us free. He that hath sinned much will love much. And we have sinned much. And yet this justification, this gospel is possible on the terms of faith alone, on the work of another. And we're called here today to remember these things, to enjoy these things. Let's pray for the Holy Ghost to be shed abroad in our hearts. That's the activity of the Spirit, speaking, witnessing, breathing in our very inner being that these things are so. We says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. We have the Holy Spirit, those who are born again, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, those who have been washed in the blood, you have the Holy Spirit. Let us seek His witness and enjoy the fruits, the peace, the blessedness that comes through justification by faith. Perhaps you're not saved. Perhaps you're not able to participate at this table. Perhaps you consider these things before, but you've never cleaved to Calvary. You've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. You're not yet a believer. You believe about it, but you have never trusted. You've never acted to say, Lord Jesus, I want this to be my way of peace with God. I'm going to give up everything else. Today you can be saved. And then you will be free to participate in this table as a believer, as a Christian. Will you believe? Will you receive the Lord Jesus today that you might enjoy peace with God on the terms of the gospel? May the Lord work this in your heart, draw you by His Spirit, in Jesus' name. Let's unite in prayer, and then we'll go straight to the table. Let's just briefly bow together in prayer.